Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. My name's Deb Coviello, your host, and I have the pleasure of bringing Germain Sejdenis onto my show. He is a certified management consultant and professional services leader. Germain has broad experience creating and leading high-performance teams in the consulting, software, and cloud computing industries. A servant leader and people-first advocate, Germain is passionate about teamwork, collaboration, and adoption of technology. He's currently focused on helping clients navigate through transformational change and technology innovation. Germain, thank you for being on my show. I can't wait to share this conversation with everybody.
Good morning, Deborah. Thank you very much for having me as a guest on your show. Really honored, actually, because you've only started this podcast. So it's really great to be able to participate. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about some of the things that I'm passionate about. Definitely, leadership is one of them, and people, teamwork, and technology all together.
So thank you. And again, we'll get right into this in a moment, but I think it's important for my listeners to understand how I see and bring certain people onto this show. Again, you know, CEOs can be very flashy and command the room, but when I think about the mindset and leadership of the people that I want to share with you, they have some very distinct qualities. They are not necessarily that bigger than life kind of person, but they bring very special qualities to the forefront and to the people they serve. And the way I have come to know Germain is through a mutual colleague of ours through social media and LinkedIn. And I came to see him on social media and say, there's something very interesting. And being early in my career last year, I said, I need to branch out, network, and connect with Germain. And there was something about the conversation that was absolutely amazing, about how he works through people in the technology space. And I really think there's this gentle giant of leadership that is really just amazing. So I just want to thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your professional support. And let's just jump right in here, Germain.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you, Deborah. And I've been watching you over the past year or so, and you've really gone gangbusters really, really well. Yeah.
So for my listeners, I would really love for you to, you know, share your business journey, but there's something that I would love for you to tie in here. We talk about servant leadership, but in your content out there, you talk about modeling from the top. And so I would love through your business journey, how did you develop your own leadership style that it manifests itself in servant leadership and modeling from the top?
That's a terrific question. Thank you. So I started life as a techie, obviously, right? But then after a while, I was reasonably good with clients understanding their problems, reasonably good working with teams. And there was one point where, you know, I was asked to take leadership roles, not necessarily managing the people, but leading initiatives, that kind of thing. And then later, managing people and managing people who sometimes I thought were, you know, equally or better maybe than I am. So you have to kind of learn on your feet, because I never saw myself really as a leader. I'm certainly not those giant leaders that you talked about being visionaries. But there's something about leading people that to me, I see it as a privilege because I want to be able to help. So it's not for me to say, oh, because I've been made leader of this group or whatever, that I'm better than you. On the contrary, you know, I always like to work with people who are better than me because I can learn from them. So the idea of servant leadership, I became a big advocate, but initially I didn't know that that's what it was. So I kind of applied those principles. And the principles, servant leadership is a phrase that was coined by Robert Greenleaf. And if you Google servant leadership, their website will come up. They've got all kinds of great information. And the whole idea is that you want to be someone who wants to serve. So rather than push people around, you want to serve. So even if you have the authority and you're in a leadership position, you have to make sure that the people have what they need to be able to be successful, right? How can you be successful if you ask somebody to do something that they haven't done or that's full of roadblocks or whatever? So a servant leader is one who will see everybody's strengths. Like, so you have to work with individual and group dynamics, but see somebody's strengths, try to assign them something where they can do well. And if they need training, if they need support, you give them that before they start. Then you can empower them. Then you can trust them to do what's required. And once you establish that trust and they know that you're there to help, to go over hurdles and stuff, which is part of our role, right? Then it works really, really well. And I found if you treat people really with respect and you help them, they'll give you 110%. I mean, I've had 110% collaboration from teams. Unbelievable. I've been very, very lucky because I work with great people, but I never really had to force somebody, order somebody to do something they don't want to do.
There's so many nuggets in this, and I've been rapidly taking so many notes. But, you know, what I hear you say, and I ask that people think about this if they're recently coming into the leadership positions, and I've had guests actually say, you know, I had smarter people than me. I wasn't sure I could do this. But spending maybe 60% of your time investing in the people, leveraging their strengths, and even somebody with potential, just piloting their skills, iterating and providing that continual reinforcement, empowering and encourage them, you got this, you can do this. And then that trust, you've become the next servant leader in that process. And so that's really the gem here. Servant leadership, yeah, how can you remove their barriers? But it's really about helping them remove their own barriers and being that next level leader. So beautiful story.
Yeah, exactly. No, quite right. And we could talk about that for hours, I think. But, you know, you mentioned people who are just new into leadership roles. And I've been in situations where, as I said, the people have been, I thought, more qualified than I am. It's a really, really great book by one of my favorite authors. His name is Patrick McKenna. And it's called First Among Equals. It's fabulous, fabulous. I really recommend that. I can send you links later on. But it was written probably 15, 16 years ago or something. And the first time I was in that situation, I didn't have that book. But later when I actually came across that book, I said, hey, this is really great. Right? So, yeah.
So you have come up through the technology space. And again, being a geek, I can appreciate that. But obviously, in your industries, change, transformation can be very challenging. And so I would love for you to maybe share with us a story in that particular industry, your approach to challenges, changes, transformation, and how did you do it?
Yes. So actually, right now, there is so much technology innovation. And it's very, very rapid, right? The rate of innovation is kind of ridiculous because but it's so great. It's fascinating. I love it. The challenge is that it's going too fast for the organization or the people to adopt, to adjust, right? And I've talked to several people. I've talked to senior people in companies like IBM. I have a former client who's now a CIO at a bank in Toronto. And everybody says the same thing. We're going so fast that people can't adjust. So what do you do and how you do it? And we've been through this several times. And the way to do it is you have to change leadership right from the beginning. And there are change management methodologies. Probably everybody's, you know, familiar with some of them. And those are great, but they're not enough. It's not about the methodologies. You really have to think about change leadership from a holistic point of view. And you look at the business imperative driving the change. So let's say that you want to do digital transformation because your customer demand it or your competition is doing it and you need to get up to speed. So that's all good. So you start off a technology initiative, but then you can't just look at that. Because what about the rest of the business, your business processes, all of your people, their roles will change. And they're afraid. That's the first thing. They'll be afraid. They'll say, what is this going to do? What's it going to do to my job? And in some cases, people are afraid of losing their job when they hear about AI and all these different things, right? So if you explain from the beginning what your vision is with this initiative, and we've done that, and I'll come back to this former client, we've done that. you look at why are we doing this? What is it going to mean for the business? And what could it mean for the people in terms of gains and benefits and opportunities? Then they look at it completely differently, right? It's no longer a threat. You have to bring them in. And if you get buy-in from the beginning, the change adoption is simple. But it's rarely the case. You rarely get buy-in from the beginning. So I focus right now so much on the adoption of technology, the non-technical adoption. Because the technical challenges, I know from my experience, the technical people always find solutions. They're great and they know how to find solutions. The technology is rarely the issue. The people becomes the main concern, right?
Wow. So I've already filled up a sheet of paper with all these insights, but what I'm hearing, and I think which resonates really with me is, and this absolutely goes for me, is starting from the inside out. You can always get the right platform or technology. You always obviously have that sense of urgency that change will absolutely happen. It's how easy you can get there. But yeah. Starting with people first, then the process, then the platform, inside out is absolutely going to get you a better result and a sustainable result.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, there's a lot of talk about digital transformation right now, but it's really business transformation. It's not just digital transformation. If you want it to be successful and bring benefits, you really have to transform some of the business processes at the same time. And some of the decision points in your business are going to change, maybe done by different people, maybe done by an automated process. There's all kinds of things that change. So it's not just to say, oh, this is a digital project, leave it for IT and tell us when you're done. Those days are way over, right? Now you use agile methodologies, you bring in the people impacted, you can even bring in clients from the beginning. And you mentioned modeling from the top, and I'm so grateful for that phrase because I was having lunch, this is more than a year ago, I think now, with this former client, and I was explaining that, okay, now that I'm a consultant, this is kind of what I see as the problem. She says, oh yeah, adoption is a big challenge. We all go through it. And I remember when we did work for her in her business at the time, one of the things that she mentioned was that she was really happy that our technical consultants challenged how they did things. Challenge in the sense that to say, hey, with this new technology, you could do it this way. You could do it that way, right? You can change things and get the more benefit out of that technology. So over lunch, we were talking and I said, okay, well, how do I position this? How do I introduce this to people? It's hard to say, and you know, too many words and stuff. And I said, if the executives aren't behind it, it rarely works. So she's a CIO. She is an executive, really smart, nice lady. And she said, right away, she said, modeling from the top. She just came up with that, just like that. And I was so grateful. And I love that expression. It really resonates with me. And I think it resonates with a lot of people. You are modeling new business processes, but you got to start with the very top people who will, you know, as I said, explain the vision, explain the benefits, explain why we're doing it, and themselves adopt, you know, maybe a changed way of doing things to reflect what they're doing.
So when I think about what you just said about modeling from the top, and again, I've gone through my career, I used to be able to think, hey, I can get this initiative going from a grassroots approach, but later learned sometimes you can do that, but often it does start with the leadership. And the other thing that I think about is, you know, you can have the greatest initiative, the greatest PowerPoints, the greatest transformational change management program because you have to help the people to adopt. But sometimes you do skip that crucial part of making sure the leadership is absolutely aligned with the vision. One, they could have different views of the vision, sending the people conflicting messages. But if they're not showing it and demonstrating and supporting, and maybe to your point, even adopting new ways of working and supporting their people, ultimately, it's not a sustainable model. The people are going to get frustrated. And so leaders also have to be able to be very adaptive to these changes in technology.
You know, the statistics are there. You just read reports from Deloitte, McKinsey, or Accenture, and it's something like 70% of large-scale initiatives fail. They're considered to have failed because they don't bring the benefits. And they all go back to the same thing is, okay, now we're so technically focused, but we can't forget the human aspect, right? We're impacting people. And that's what it boils down to, impacting people.
So you've obviously had a very rewarding career. Many people can talk about the great work that you've done, but I see that you dabble in some other things. You also work with the University of Toronto, mentoring various projects. Specifically, you list assessing the implications of AI and of the fourth industrial revolution. I'd love for you to share a little bit about some of this mentor work that you're doing in the universities.
I enjoyed that so much. That's a real privilege for me. I mean, I was honored to have been asked, actually. This whole idea is, so at the University of Toronto, they have a program. Engineering students who are doing their master's take a course for management consulting. That's what it's called, management consulting for master's of engineering students. So the professor picks people from the Management Consulting Association, those of us who have that designation, and he picks us to be mentors to those people. So I did it for two semesters last year. It's a voluntary part-time role. And we don't tell them how to do it, but you know, we kind of give them some suggestions. So both of the projects we did were kind of around the implications of all of this new technology, which is part of the fourth industrial revolution, as you mentioned. So AI, blockchain, robotics, all of this good stuff. So we asked them to look at the implications of this on the management consulting business. So if they become a consultant later in life, which happens often for technical people, engineers become consultants. I mean, you and I are young examples. There you go. So we asked them to look at that and make recommendations. And the recommendations are things that, you know, the association, for example, can use and various other people can refer to. And I was so impressed, I have to tell you, I was so impressed. In the first semester, there was a young man from Saudi Arabia who studied in Toronto and everything else. He was so smart. I couldn't believe it. So smart. And then there were four young women that I myself and the executive director of the association were mentors for, those four young women. One from British Columbia, which is the west coast of Canada. One from Germany. One from India, one from the Middle East. Imagine that. So University of Toronto brings a lot of foreign students. And it was just amazing how quickly they grasped all of these concepts and the kind of questions that they brought to us. The very first meeting we had, they had a whole agenda full of questions. I was so impressed. I mean, I don't think I was that smart at 21 years old, I'm sure. So it was really rewarding to see them kind of peel this onion that they say, okay, well, this, what is this all about? Because they didn't know AI necessarily, and it wasn't an AI project per se. It was the implications of AI. So what does it mean? As a consultant, can I say, for example, next year, I have the AI software that does accounting. Does that mean that I can offer my services as an accountant? Right? I don't know. Maybe I can. Maybe the software is good enough. What about the regulations? And what about the perception? Our client's going to say, oh, yes, he's an accountant because he's got this software. Well, hold on. It's not quite the same, right? So a lot of things to look at and the implications on business when they hire a consultant. What kind of person do you want? You need to have some of those, not necessarily deep skills, but you have to be very aware of the technology. You can't do work these days without being very aware of the technology that's out there, right?
You know, this working with a generation that is following us, you know, sometimes people talk about, you know, oh, they're this way and that way. But what I feel and what I'm also experiencing by mentoring others is a coming together of these two generations. They treasure and appreciate the history and perspective and the lessons learned that we have along the way. But they have this amazing, amazing critical thinking that I think hinges on the acceleration of technology. So their ability to process information and concepts is incredibly fast. And so for the ability for them to bring their thoughts and validate or support it by people of our generation, it's an amazing marriage of technical skills.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, when they get out in the workforce, they will be able to introduce technology at a very rapid pace. But I think they will encounter some of the same adoption issues, right? So I talked to them about that. I said, so when you get out there and you introduce this, adoption may be your biggest challenge, right? And they hadn't thought about that. But, oh, okay. Well, not everybody's going to be able to follow along as fast as you four or five people, because, you know, you're all so smart and really well educated. not everybody's going to be in that boat, but you're right. I was just totally amazed, and I was really honored, and that's why I put up a post, and you should have seen their faces. It was just magic. You should have seen their faces when we took a group photo, and I said, I'm going to post this on social media, right? And the smiles just tell a whole story. They were just great.
So I'm going to switch this up a little bit. The stories of what people say about having the experience of working with you, I think are telling, and I would love to share. And you have quite a few fans out there, but there's one particular one. I've got a small excerpt. I would love for you to share with me. What was your experience working with this individual and the side story? So again, a very small piece. I am proud to know Germaine and have had a chance to work with him. The best manager I've had so far in my career. And don't forget to taste some wine with him. He has a rare taste when it comes to wine, especially the Italian ones. Max.
That is really interesting. Max is a terrific guy. This is a terrific story in a way. I actually hired Max from Italy, right? Because the kind of skills that he brought were rare, right? There are only a handful of people who had the skills that we needed at the time. I brought him over from Italy. It's a long process, right? It takes a long time, lots of paperwork and visas and all this stuff. And for some reason, he and I just clicked. We just clicked. We did a few Skype audio video calls. But when we met in person, when he started, I went to meet with him, because I always like to meet all my staff face-to-face. You have to, and that's important, right? And we just clicked. And even though he's considerably younger than me, obviously, he has a way to see things that I found so impressive. We always connected so that one idea would feed another. And he was fabulous in his work. His clients loved him. Everybody loved him. I just can't say enough about him. And when he wrote this testimonial for me, it was touching. It was really touching. His reference to one of the best managers, that's great. I like that. Appreciate that. A number of others have said that. And I consider them friends, right? I consider a lot of those people who I worked with are friends. Ironically, even though he's Italian, Max doesn't drink wine, or not much of it. So I kept telling him, you're missing something. You got to try some of these wines. They're terrific. And look at these Italian wines. So that's why his comment about wines, and he knows that I've been to Tuscany and did all the wine routes and, you know, Chianti region and everything else. But so I really appreciate all of those testimonials that I've had from people and many others that I've been told and received since I left the corporate world.
All right. Great story. And there are many on your profile on LinkedIn. You know, one little nugget here before we change is that, you know, you talk about you have started out with a professional relationship talent that you needed to bring into your organization, you know, but you're now, you hit it off, things clicked, you're friends now. You know, I came up in a generation and the way I was trained is, you know, keep everything professional. Yes, you want to shoot the breeze. You want to ask how their kids are, go for a coffee, but there's still this element of keeping it very professional. And as I'm learning now and reaching out and connecting, it's almost mandatory to now connect with people on a more personal level, because only then can the business transaction and the work you do together be so much easier. So I would like to emphasize with people that the old style of managing, working in teams, keeping it professional may be what's holding you back.
That's a very good point, Deborah. Very good point. I mean, there's still a need to keep it professional in the sense that you're still the boss. Things need to get done. Being a servant leader doesn't mean being a wimp. You still have to get things done, right? You're in business for a reason. But you can still get very close to your people. Servant leadership refers to that as well, right? It's good to get to know them. I know the names of, you know, some of my former staffs, their children, their wives, some of the issues they had, all kinds of stuff. Of course, it's all confidential. But the fact that they trust me to tell me means something. There's another book that I'm going to refer to by Mark Crawley. And it's called Lead from the Heart. And Mark talks about that. You get to know your team as people and what makes them tick, what they're concerned about. you establish those relationships as friends while still maintaining the professional relationship. And I've had that with my bosses as well. And I'm still very good friends with my former boss at Oracle, for example, and even before that when I worked in Ottawa. But the relationship was always a professional one. Yet we could talk about all kinds of other things not related to work, for example, which is great.
So thank you. And I would say, listeners, seek out bosses, leaders that have these qualities. It will make the journey of whatever transformation or work that you're doing so much more enjoyable, and you truly love the work that you do. So, Germaine, this conversation was full of words of wisdom and some just great insights. I know people that have known you from your past, people that don't know you yet will want to connect with you. What's the best way to do that?
I would say the best way is connect with me through LinkedIn. They can see my profile. They can see what I'm kind of all about and everything else and connect through LinkedIn. My phone number is there. My email is there. And I'm on LinkedIn generally every day. I don't post every day, but I try to post every other day or something. And when I post, I try to post something about what I am passionate about. So I post about teamwork, people, leadership, adoption of technology, always around that. If somebody is interested in discussing other things that we mentioned here or any other things, I'm quite open to be kind of a sounding board, if that helps. But thank you for the opportunity. Yeah,
this was an amazing conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed just getting to know you, bouncing ideas. You know, sometimes being in your own business is a little bit lonely. You don't have the benefit of a large office, but connecting with people like Germaine and others is really the way that we can grow ourselves personally and in the work that we do. So thank you so much for your time, Germaine.
Thank you very much, Deborah. Really appreciate having had the opportunity to be one of your guests.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.